third movement of the symphony, the third act in play. In talking about the third movement, I actually use the following analogy sometimes. A person finds themselves born into a life. It's as if they're thrown into life. And they find themselves in the midst of a theatrical production. The nature of the theatrical production is what we're going to talk about now. 144 theatrical productions. And then, from what we looked at so far, we could say the director, central casting, the mad director, suggests that the part you play in this theatrical production is Venus or Mars. Man will play the part of Mars, the woman plays the part of Venus. Aha, but what is the theatrical production? This is the third movement. It's extremely intriguing what I've noticed since I've been working with this system. There's a question that I often encountered years ago. Every now and then I still get it. And that is that if you become enlightened, then do you transcend your chart? Now, if we're using a type of astrology that is purely deterministic, but purely cause and effect, that is only organized from the perspective of the middle world, channel 7 here, unless you want it to be channel 9. Anyway, this particular frequency that we all tend to somewhat agree with on, that if our astrology was only about that, then the answer is hell yes, you can transcend your chart. However, when we're looking at it as the journey of the soul with the lineage, and looking at in the second movement, we're looking at it with a great deal of attention on statements of intent. And if there does exist something like the storyline for current life purpose, could it not be that that is in fact what is meant by transcending the chart? The goal, and what it would look like while we're still in the body. I've speculated on this with other astrologers, and this particular view of looking at the third movement, or coming up with the clues to current life purpose, it is in fact possible that at other time periods in history, it would have been a description of the next life. That if you didn't make it to the third movement, well then for sure, the next incarnation would look like this. However,
is it the carrot on the end of the stick then? Is it the carrot on the end of the stick?
Well, maybe not. It's actually more that at this time in history, many more individuals can have many lifetimes within one. So I've noticed there are many, many more people that have the capacity to actually reach the third movement. It becomes more common rather than rare. And certainly would not be a description of a next life. There's something very interesting that seems to happen at the turning of the ages, in one of these speeded up time periods that we're in now. It actually more corresponds to the view of our soul's journey that does not include reincarnation. You know, kind of in a really kind of lazy form of Buddhism, you know, it's like, doesn't matter. we do a little bit now, you know, and we got 1,000 more lifetimes, and after all, maybe this is the coasting one, and, you know, there's nothing urgent, and no need, you know, I'm just relaxing now, and 1,000 more. By the way, I'm not saying that's from some place of objectivity not true. It seems to go on forever, you know? But in a speeded up time, there tends to be a feeling of a greater sense of urgency. You know, kind of like the statement, if not now, when? Takes on greater emphasis, more emphasis there. So why not give ourselves permission to investigate the third movement? I need to be clear here, it's not the same as the path of least resistance. It is not. It takes a certain courage, a certain intention, a certain patience, a certain willingness to not know what you're doing to go to the third movement. Unless your moon and the rising sign are the same, we're all beginners when it comes to the third movement. All beginners. We cannot expect to know how to do it ahead of time. Which actually, something I want to share about this, is that you can see what we call shadow from the lineage, and we can see that as addiction, a generic form of addiction, over identification with qualities that were our best qualities. It's completely understandable why we might do that. For example, if a person had been for lifetime Scorpio, and if we think of it from the perspective of Creator, different human beings are allocated different essences. You know, some people get more compassion. Some people get more consciousness. Some people get more courage. Those who have been Scorpio in the past are allocated the greatest amount of will. Now, no human being owns will. There's universal will. But human beings get born, and they're allocated some of these essences, you know. So Scorpio got will. So if you come into the life having been allocated will, and you can look at any of the moons this way, you become identified with that quality. It's mine! It's not universal will anymore. So, you know, if you have Capricorn moon, you get allocated practical wisdom, knowledge. Become a knower. You don't own it. It's what you got allocated. So therefore, usually Capricorn moons, the way to get over themselves is they have to go through a time period of annihilation of everything they know. Other places on the wheel don't have to go through that one. So, like Scorpio has to get over that they have the strongest will. Doesn't mean will's bad. Or knowledge, or any of the rest of them. So that's really the addition aspect of it. But when it has to do with the rising sign, when it has to do with the third movement, there are many minefields there. But if we make mistakes there, it's a whole different category. It's an honest mistake. Having to go through the training. Almost no Libra risings get the relationship thing down early on. It's a curriculum. And nobody who went from 8th to 9th grade ever said, oh, damn it, I failed 8th. You know? You go to the next class. So, I just wanted to get this across about it's a beginner place. Just as many people, their Venus or Mars positions are also beginner places if they're really different than the moon. Beginner. So now, what is the third movement? The storyline of current life purpose. It starts at what?
It's on the board.
Yeah, well, I know, but it's also in your handouts also. You know, but, rascal. So, we start with the rising sign. So, in a sense, the rising sign is taking the place in the third movement the way the moon was in the lineage. So the tribe you're signing up for, the school you're entering, the university you're entering, we call it a mystery school, is the rising sign. The directional flow of the soul is toward the ascendant, working in that direction, going that way. In general, pretty much all life questions can be answered in general by applying the questions to the rising sign. That identifies the training, the mystery school you're entering into. And then the house position of the north node of the moon is how you can flesh it out to 1 out of 144 rather than 1 out of 12. So this is so for those that are really new to all this, you can look for that north node symbol and see what house it's in. But here's a hint. It's always opposite the south node. And so basically, all you have to know is the order of the signs and to know what sign is opposite another sign.
The axis.
The axis. The six axes. Yeah.
7, 2, 8.
Yep. Aries to Libra. Taurus to Scorpio. Gemini to Sagittarius. Cancer to Capricorn. Virgo, Pisces. Leo, Aquarius. Those are the six axes. So, if you have, like in the case of, I'm thinking of two people that have it backwards, have them opposite. Joan, who had the seventh, now has the first. Tomas, who had the first, now has the seventh.
Easy. Mm-hmm.
So if you had the second in the past, you now have the eighth. If you had the eighth in the past, you now have the second. I had the second in the past, I now have the eighth. So, do you get what I'm doing? Mm-hmm. But now this is fresh, it's new. It's a new investigation. Whenever I do a group, and we did this at your community a few times, Adrian, where you could actually put everyone around the wheel first in their moon tribes, and then you get a sense of what skills, attitudes, habits, and so on people bring to the gathering. But then you put everyone around the wheel with their rising signs, which we will do as an exercise in the class later in the workshop. We might even do it as a something we haven't completely sourced yet, but some kind of astrodrama with it, which would be really fun. And then you sit around the wheel and then you present your ideas, your visions of building a new world. Because the rising sign positions are what, you know, I mean, let's say you're on a plane that crashes on a desert island somewhere. The guy who's the president's on the plane. Let's say the chief of police is on the plane. Plane goes down a desert island. Those aren't the characters who are likely going to be leading the group. They're ones that already have those jobs. You have emerging the actual new capacities of individuals. You get to find out what are the new emerging skills. You have to step up to the plate and be that place on the wheel that you came in to occupy the place of, to be. It's a being, a becoming place, a becoming place. So let's get a sense of who is in the room here tonight with the storylines for current life purpose.
So I signed up for the Scorpio Mystery School, and I'm majoring in course.
So now just this pause for a moment, because the job position, the job situation is the same. If you remember what the second house or the Taurus job is, it's the epicure, the savor of that mystery school. So you coined, what's your expression for it?
See, the harbinger and enchantress of the pleasure paradigm. The harbinger and enchantress of the pleasure paradigm. Scorpio Taurus.
It's an Epicurean version of Scorpio. It's not the version of Scorpio that must demonstrate because of a sense of deficiency that they can go way past the edge. So it's actually a more cautious sort of horizon.
Okay, so we're doing
the opposite of the south.
So you are going to this Cancer Mystery School, and you're majoring in Pisces.
Pisces job in the Cancer tribe. I'll do some commentary on this, but let's go around. I want to go around the whole circle first.
No, ascendant plus the house.
Yeah, she thought it right. She just didn't say it correctly. Yeah. So you're going to the University of Gemini and majoring in Sagittarius.
So it's the Sagittarian version of Gemini. In the past, she was the Gemini version of Gemini. Now it's the Sagittarius version of Gemini. And maybe I'll just pause for a moment. And this is the time to answer a question that Adrian had earlier. What do you say to a person when the older one and the newer one, the moon and the ascendant, are the same? They cannot be exactly the same. So the methodology I use is there's two possibilities. One is you can use the imagery that there's 12 different ways of being something. 12 different versions of Gemini. Now, clearly, you were the master of the Gemini version of Gemini. So now you decided to be Gemini again, and there's at least two clues already that have emerged from our work here today. One is your Venus position, Pisces, radically different than Gemini. So then we could say there's a version of Gemini you haven't tried out. But then there's the Sagittarius version, Sagittarius job in the Gemini tribe, which is a far more serious version of Gemini. The difference between Sag and Gemini, they're both on the same axis. They're definitely related. Too much Gemini, nothing is serious. Absolutely nothing. Too much Sagittarius, everything is completely earnestly serious. So that's the that's really, you know, so I'm giving the extreme expressions. It's still Gemini, but let's say it's a more serious spiritual seeker. Very few Gemini types would ever admit to being serious spiritual seekers. They would kind of say, well, been there, done that. Or not this life, you know. Yeah. So, that, and then there's another possibility. If it's not just some version of Gemini that hasn't been tried yet. And that is based on being at the turning of the ages. That even if your moon and the rising are the same, it's all fresh. So we're new. We're investigating brand new features of what that mystery school is about. So that also shows up as a possibility. So I usually mention both of those, although the work of any rising sign is to take it into new territory. Always. Like, so if somebody has Scorpio rising, for example, part of their work is to invent, through their own experience, new forms of shamanism, new forms of tantra. Even though they were experts at it in the past, that if you have the rising sign, it's to get it past the old programs into a new expression. We'll have a more detailed discussion of this when we get to our work with Scorpio specifically. We'll be doing like 20 minutes, half an hour on each of the 12 in depth. Starting tomorrow after Kaylin's section tomorrow. That's the next part of what we're going to do. Does that help answer your question there?
Yeah. Yeah, and there's other, I mean, you have Mercury still, and you're going to talk more about Jupiter here.
Yeah,
there are other clues, but it's like it's a framework on it. It's either it's a complete new investigation of that mystery school, or you can get really, in your case, your chart. Those two clues are just essential. There's no ambiguity to those two clues. That, you know, the Pisces version of Gemini and the Sagittarius version of Gemini. No, not particularly. Well, that's a flavor. That has to do with the relational path and owning certain life force energy. But it's not. It adds to the story, but it's not giving the two most important clues about what are the new versions. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I'm at the. I enrolled in the University of Taurus and majoring in Virgo.
Right. Is it?
Is that right?
No.
Wait a minute.
You're Virgo from the past.
No, I mean Pisces.
Pisces job in the.
Wait a minute. So I guess I misunderstood it. So the.
Looking for the north node. The house.
The north node, yes.
The 12th house.
The north. Opposite. The north node is.
Opposite. The 12th house.
The 12th house. Oh, Pisces. What made you think?
Your other ones in Virgo.
Oh, okay.
It's always the opposite of the one from the lineage. So you're investigating Taurus with a Pisces approach. And that is a giver, healing version of Taurus.
Give him the love. Give him the love.
But it's still Taurus. And then that it requires that we'll be spending time looking at the Taurus Mystery School in some depth. We'll get to that. Can you see the flow of what we're doing here? Which is, so you have the script, you have the structure, and so then when we get into the essence of the Mystery Schools, you can fill it in and see how that applies in your own journey. Whether it's something from the past. You know, we make no judgments here, good, bad, right, wrong, high, low. But there is an inherent assessment made that for one person something could be regressive when that exact same set of qualities for another person is exactly what they're working on. So it's either something we're letting go of or something we're moving toward, which is why the concept of transmission can be so important. Like, for example, anyone who has Mars or Venus in Capricorn, or even Capricorn Sun or Capricorn, with, say, Capricorn Rising, those are people that tend to more likely get what I'm doing. You know, they're able to see it. You can take any sign and you can look at it that way. Like, so the Gemini, those that have strong Gemini, you're going to resonate with the fact that you have so much Gemini. The fact that that there's so much Taurus among a lot of the men here. Other circles of men are not going to get this Taurus thing.
Alan doesn't get it.
And so that we each can be teachers to someone else. I mean, this whole thing of transmission is really important. And it makes the circle really come alive. And meanwhile, there's people sitting here in this circle right now that do not easily resonate with other people in the circle. It's just completely natural. In fact, 2,000 years ago, I'd like to be able to find out the exact dimension, but the whole doctrine of aspects, squares, conjunctions, oppositions, and all of that understanding came from an early form of optics. They put people in a circle and had them look forward, and then there were blind spots. You couldn't, the ones that are next to you, you couldn't see. Which is why...
If you're looking straight ahead, you can't see.
And so the signs that are right next to each other in some ways have the least in common. And I noticed that the dimension of the circle, there would be a blind spot there and there. This then became the quincunxes, the inconjuncts, which were not considered to be an aspect because there was no relationship. So it's kind of like a circle dynamic. You know, in some places on the wheel have a really easy resonance, other places don't. Of course, our goal here is to get to where we can actually have value for all the places on the wheel. As Brother Richie Havens said, there's only 12 people in the world. And if you can get along with those 12 people, you can get along with everybody in the world. I'll just stretch it to 144. So, continuing.
I have the Pisces job in the Sagittarius tribe.
Both, notice from what you know at this point that those are both service in service to spirit. So it's a combination of those two paths that earlier today I was mentioning. Both are dedicated to being in service to the Spirit, but in totally different ways.
Oh, because this chart's not right down here.
Yes, right.
I know. There's always one we end up having in that sort of situation.
My God, are you okay? Sag job, Cancer job.
To boldly go where no one has gone before in the investigation of home and roots and family.
We have 7 kids.
Or none. Well, and look, I mean, he goes as far, he finds his most satisfying situations in other foreign countries.
Exactly.
Yeah. Classic. Really classic. Yeah. And, let's give attention to everyone here. Say it again, please.
Rising is Scorpio. Yeah. So the new mystery school is Scorpio.
Gemini, yes, okay. Right. So now here's an example of where the past and the future are the same mystery school. In the past, it was the Sagittarius job. Now it's the Gemini job.
Both in Scorpio.
Mm-hmm. So it's the same situation as Cher, different mystery school, but where the moon and the ascendant are the same. Mm-hmm. And then your Venus position would give us clues, too.
Yeah.
Right. So that's what version of Scorpio are you trying out this time?
Shaman Queen.
The Leo version. And then the Gemini job, it's kind of like, this is sort of an advanced statement on what we'll get into when we get into Gemini. It's like, think of a circus or a carnival. Maybe you're billed as the acrobat. If the stage magician is sick, you can do that too. I mean, in the circus or carnival, basically all the different things you can do. You can be the song and dance person. You can be the, as well as your specialty. It's like having numerous things, like all the things that you can do in the circus or carnival. You know, you can be the star of all of them.
So where's the moon aspect to it, so you don't get stuck doing that whole job? I mean, if you're doing Scorpio again, and you get to, you know...
It's tricky.
But you don't want to be doing Sagittarius, you don't want to be searching all the time, so you got to define that.
Yeah.
And it makes it easy because they're opposites, so it's that's nice. They're not too similar to
like almost in every case you still have to get over certain attachments to the moon. In fact, almost always the Scorpio moon, at least in the last 500 years or 100 years, they go through disempowerment. It just seems to be the way the game is set up, to go through the taking away of the will, taking away the power.
Mm-hmm.
If it's Scorpio rising, well, then your destination is there. But even the Scorpio moons that are not working on Scorpio this time, they need to get that foundation back. And at a certain point, you don't need to give it up anymore. Okay, Joan?
The Aries job in the Leo tribe.
Yes. Now, in the spectrum of 144 storylines, at the very far end of the spectrum, Aries job in the Leo tribe, Aries job in the Aries tribe, Leo job in the Leo tribe, Leo job in the Aries tribe, those combinations, that end of the spectrum is the most articulate expression of complete sovereignty and autonomy. truly the place of Creator. Creator. Yes, yes. And it's very important to understand, and this is just an advanced statement about Leo, we're not talking about anything egoic. It's not the shadow side of Leo. The shadow side of Leo is I'm God and you're not. the real essence of Leo is I love myself completely and so can you. And they create a space for everyone to be everything they can be. That's its gift.
You described it once as I'm God and so are you, and I'm going to show you my shining, my focus on the world and how to.
Well, that's actually part of the way of dealing with shadow. Every mystery still has a way of dealing with shadow. That's a real fun one to get into. Yeah, you shine your light on. It's only the Leo Mystery School. You really have to believe it. When you encounter darkness or shadow, you illuminate it with so much light that there does just simply no shadow left. But you got to be pretty clean and clear to be able to do that, because there can't be any shadow left in you. Mm-hmm. Okay. Come on.
Libra Jones.
Indeed. Now you and I have this thing where I'm the Scorpio Job and the Libra Tribe. So we've got that similar resonance there. As some of the other people in the group noticed they had with each other. Now Scorpio per se has nothing really to do with relationship. It may have something to do with sex, eros, and intimacy, but not relationship. But if it's the Libra Job, then it's merging together two things, two signs that don't see each other. One of them that is completely sovereign and autonomous, and just an energy seeker, with the Libra intent, which is how to know yourself personally through another.
The universe has a great sense of humor. Cool. Mm-hmm. I'm in, I think. Oh, not you. Hey.
Of course.
Capricorn job, Scorpio job.
What?
Capricorn, that's to become the elder.
Elder Shaman.
Thank you.
Elder Shaman. The mate Elder Shaman. Capricorn job in the Scorpio tribe.
And to do it responsibly.
Responsible lunaticity.
Responsible what?
Lunaticity.
Now, listen. There are some of us in this room that have an extreme contrast between the lineage storyline and the current life purpose.
But don't I have the same thing as him with my Mars and Capricorn?
Kind of.
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah. It's very similar in part.
Credibility.
Except that you have the Libra piece, you don't.
Right.
He doesn't, I mean. You have the Libra piece, he doesn't.
Sound of that.
All right. I mean, for him, it requires complete elimination of the Libra piece.
Yeah.
Well, you're trying to see what that is.
Yeah, isn't that a shortcut or something?
Now, have you? I'm sure you've tried your shortcuts. Okay. Continue, Mary.
And Scorpio tries a real job, so.
Yes, the star of the investigation of New Scorpio.
You better control than I'm watching.
There's so much Scorpio in this room, as well as Gemini. I'm tempted to go into those things in more detail, but I'm going to hold it back until we get the full understanding of the script. Okay.
Gemini job and Scorpio job.
Right on.
The Gemini Scorpio combination. Now, I will mention something just briefly. There are two places on the wheel, Gemini and Scorpio, that have the least interest in rules, regulations, law, and structure. Gemini and Scorpio. They have two different ways of not caring at all about consensus reality.
It's like parties waiting to
happen. For one, when the Gemini version is just let's. Gemini is the epitome of yet the meaning, which we Capricorn moons I've never understood. It's when people say, "Let's party."
What does that mean? What do you
Well, Scorpio is it's really not so much about the lightness of the party. It's let's get down to it. Let's find out where the essence is. Let's see where the life force is. I want to make sure I can feel this experience. You know, so when I try to think of sometimes I have clients that were the Gemini job and the Scorpio tribe from the past, or the Scorpio job and the Gemini tribe from the past. And about the best thing you could come up with is imagine being part of some anarchist, egalitarian pirate commune.
Say that again.
Anarchist, egalitarian, pirate commune. I'm serious. I guess that would be that combination.
Like kind, everybody in the group, all the pirates are the same.
Yeah. They don't care about consensus reality. They have their own code of conduct.
Yeah.
It's egalitarian and it's anarchy. Sounds good to some of us. So, next.
I'm attending the Mystery School of Libra.
Yes.
Graduating Libra. Is that right? Graduating the job of?
No, the job is also Libra. Libra job and the Libra tribe, yeah. So it's the version of Libra that's no deviation from just Libra.
Say that again?
There's no modification. It's just the Libra specialty in the Libra tribe, so it's maximum Libra.
Right.
Well, I made a comment before that it's actually out of favor today, Libra, because it sounds like codependence, you know. So if a person has Libra rising, if a man has Mars in Libra, if a woman has Venus in Libra, there's an authentic, sincere longing for the one. What do I mean by that? I mean, basically, it's where you choose to be with someone, and you're all in, and you can look at that partner without coercion. That person would say you are their number one priority, and you would return the favor. This is not cultural. It's not peer pressure. It's not past life themes. It's an authentic longing of the soul to have that experience. And those of us today with that position will not stop until they have that experience and they get it right. And so usually people with that position today don't settle for the role. What do I mean by the role? You know, like in the previous culture, it's like there's the other version of Libra, the older version of Libra. You're happy because you have the husband or wife on your resume. You know, I mean, you can go to sleep at night and say, oh yeah, I got a partner. Not necessarily, do you even talk to each other? It's like, I got a partner. That's the old version.
Would you, in your reading, if you came across, especially the Libra, would that be, would you get deeper into the sacred marriage for them earlier, just so they could, that'd be something they'd probably want to work out if they're going to have to work on a relationship, getting in a relationship.
Yeah, there's usually what happens when people have a lot of Libra. The majority, all they want to talk about in the session is the different guys or the different women, you know? And so you go through the relationship stuff.
Why is this one working? Uh-huh.
But every so often, there's the one who has a lot of Libra, and they'll say, God, I'm so happy being entirely on my own. Mm-hmm. I have chosen to be on my own. I don't even care if I have another relationship. Wow. When that happens, when a person has a lot of Libra, inside I'm sort of smiling. Because I know they're close.
Yeah, you can translate the family to, like, a Libra rising that has, you know, a birth family that is just...
That's more Cancer Capricorn. More Cancer Capricorn than Libra.
My husband has a little bit of Libra rising, and he has a family that they're always at odds with each other. He's the only bridge.
Well, that's possible that he's the only one who has, you know, there's something, you know, because Libra is kind of out of favor, because it's considered to be weak, it's considered to be superficial, considered to be codependent, and so on. There's another view toward it, which is my friend Tim, who's the managing director of Mountain Astrologer, who's so used to having to deal with astrologers who are egoic celebrity types. And he coined an expression, SLDS, that stands for Severe Libra Deficiency Syndrome, which is people who don't have any connection to sensitivity to others, or, you know, the fairness of everyone in a circle, or concerned about somebody else's experience, you know, sort of an antidote to egoic star syndrome, you know. So it's to have some Libra in there can be very helpful. But in your case, like, I thought of this because it's possible that person is in a family where there's zero Libra, and that person is learning about Libra by being the peacemaker, the mediator with that group of dysfunctional love. Because they will idealize right relationship. Libra is like the original form of Confucianism in China, which was founded on right relationship. Right relationship between husband and wife. Right relationship between parent and child. Right relationship between friend and friend. Right relationship between teacher and student. Right relationship between ruler and subject. That was how they understood it. Okay, next.
I have a Pisces job and a Capricorn chart.
The Pisces job and the Capricorn tribe, yeah. So we had the reverse of you.
We need to talk, I think.
And there's a lot of minefields there, which is basically taking on the suffering of the world. And then on a bad day, feeling you're responsible for it. Okay, next.
Pisces, John, Virgo, tribe.
Another double giver. So, just as a very short form, since I'm doing like short commentary kind of in most of these. Every rising sign, and this might be the point just to generalize this right now, every rising sign has a simple question. Cancer rising, where are your children? Libra rising, Where's your husband?
Partner.
Where's your partner? Capricorn rising. Where's your empire?
It's your master.
Taurus rising. Where are your lovers? Virgo rising. Do you know what is your sacred work? Which, you know, I'm speaking to Teresa here, yeah. Do you know what is your sacred work? That's Virgo rising. And if a person at some point in their life doesn't know how to articulate an answer to that question, that's fine as long as you know that's the question. And what I mean by sacred work is a very different thing than what do you do and how do you make money? So a sacred work is like, if we're not familiar or like the ring of that expression, sacred work, it's similar to what is meant by having a calling.
Yeah.
A calling.
Calling.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny how it works with people. From the time I graduated from college, I was really, really clear about calling. And I was connected in with, I knew what my calling was, and it was always between one of two things, and those are the only two things I've ever done. I would throw those things up in the air. I'd say to Spirit, if there's something else you want me to do, please let me know. Same stuff always keeps coming down. So calling's been easy for me, but of course the people realized actually what I cared the most about was my love life, not a calling. But it's remarkable how many people would give an arm and a leg for a calling. We all tend to long for the thing that somebody else has often. But Virgo rising is about calling. And then it's in service to Spirit. It's like knowing that it's making a difference somehow. That, you know, it's like what you were born to do. Pisces job in the Virgo tribe? Certainly, it's totally. I mean, you talk about why. You know, we look at your Scorpio moon and how it was disempowered. Getting around the idea that there was victimization and punishment and violation and damage and, you know, that's all true, the way that Scorpio moon was punished. But it certainly did move you in a different direction. Be a giver.
Yeah, I'm a giver.
You are.
Double trouble.
But so the way I approach that would be is that you can objectively look back on your life and yes, you definitely conclusively proved that you know how to be of service and be a giver, yes?
Yeah.
Take away whether you were perfect or not at it. That's really what you did.
Yeah, it's true.
So the job was accomplished. There's no reason whatsoever to withhold a connection to the power and strength, aliveness, passion, Eros, and Scorpio moon. Even if it means getting really mad about it.
This new sheriff is now.
Good.
I live in the house of the high rating priestess. I work for the high rating priestess, and I serve as the high rating priestess.
He's speaking of Virgo rising.
Yeah.
Pisces job and the Virgo job.
Virgo
job and the Pisces job.
Virgo and the Virgo.
Nope.
Double.
Forgot
my chart. Momentarily. I should never have forgotten it because it's the same as Lynn's.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't forget it. He replaced it in his breath.
So Lynn has the same one, the Pisces job and the Virgo tribe.
Yeah.
And then I have the Scorpio.
Virgo job.
Huh?
He's Virgo job.
I'm
the
Virgo job. Yeah.
Well, then it's not the same then. No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
All Virgo.
All Virgo. Maximum 144 positions.
Calling.
But there's a lot of similarities between his chart and Lynn's chart.
Oh, yeah. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
So does the first symphony. That's the
Pardon?
The first, no. Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Like I was Virgo,
good or something. Is that actually going, once we start to step into the third movement?
Yes.
Was that first movement?
In support of it, then. Yeah. So the goal is to have the whole chart, including the lineage, serve the storyline for current life purpose.
So you will still be using that energy?
Yes. And the maximum would the ideal formula is about a third, but there are going to be times. I mean, there's some people that are so over-identified with their moon that just to get them to 50.00001 of the other part is a good start. You know, like it can be kind of ambitious to get them all the way to two-thirds, you know, right away, if they're really identified with it strongly.
Well, and you have different things. I mean, if you're going through different parts of the timeline, not to break, you know, we're not going to go into that enough, but different times, you could fall on different tools.
And totally.
Then, and so, it feels really good to be stuck in this Neptune cycle and have icy moons.
True. In fact, it's totally true. What he's speaking of here is, and this is really a good thing to know among our friends and among our loving relationships. When things are at their very worst, it's always good to give people strokes for their moon. It brings them back to center. I can just tell you from my own case, is that as a Capricorn moon, there have been times in my life where the trauma and the melodrama has been pretty extreme. But give me a reading to do. Put me in that place of being of service, of help, being the answer man of some kind or another, and I'm back in my center. Then I can get to the next experience. That is extremely helpful to know. To give people strokes for that. It's particularly good when you have, you know, that about your children. Giving them, particularly initially, strokes for what they came in with. Can you imagine what it's like for a child who has a particular moon position and all they get is criticism and judgment and violation and probably just like they're beat up for coming in with a particular essence? Give them a little chance to be in light for a while before you tell them they have to let go of their moon.
Aspire comes out and the moon goes.
Okay, so you get a taste of the storyline for current life purpose. Now, there is another feature we can use. The Jupiter position. Now, it's useful to know about the Jupiter position because you may run into a time period where you talk to somebody where there's no birth time. Because if there's no birth time, you're not going to know the rising sign, and you're certainly not going to know the house position of the North Node. So without a birth time, the storyline for current life purpose is simply not available. It's not quite that excruciating and extreme with the lineage because in most cases, you can find out what the moon is because it takes 2.5 days to go through a whole sign. But when it comes to the third movement, it really, truly is individually and personally calibrated that you need a birth time. So you can use the Jupiter position as a third feature of looking at current life purpose. But if there's no birth time, then it's sort of like a poor man's rising sign. It would kind of be a stand-in for it, a fill-in for it. Because it's going to be an indicator of a person's dharma, regardless of what the rising sign actually is. So what this refers to now, what I mean by dharma, which is a word that has so many different meanings, it's sort of like taking the 12 mystery schools and perceiving that every one of the 12 has its own unique spiritual path. 12 ways. 4 of them are householders. 4 of them are in service to the Spirit. 4 of them are with self-interest. 12 different ways, 12 different dharmas, 12 different spiritual paths. And we will be exploring that as we go through each of the 12. Many times, it really offers no additional information. You know, if a person had Leo rising and Jupiter in Leo, they're basically saying the same thing. However, what if a person had Scorpio rising or a Gemini rising, but they have Jupiter in Cancer?
Exactly.
That is added. Then usually I work with any number of people in their 50s or 60s that have all those non-householder archetypes, but then they have Jupiter in Cancer or Capricorn, and oh yes indeed, they had a householder phase of life. It was clearly on their to-do list to have that experience. So know your Jupiter position and then relate that to what we are going to learn about the 12 mystery schools.
I mean, in my case, with the Libra moon and the Scorpio rising being, you know, very opposite, and then I have Jupiter in Libra, you know, if that came up and then we're like, didn't have a birth time, and we'd be pointing towards Libra, but then you're saying that I'd have some type of dharma with balanced relationship to work for Scorpio.
Well, having Jupiter in Libra and Libra moon is similar to, I'm thinking of Adrian, who has Jupiter in Capricorn and Capricorn moon. Which is basically saying, it's like a once in future. I mean, it's one thing is, of course, to get over the codependency, a couple consciousness, knowing yourself through a partner of the Libra moon, but you're still on an investigatory journey to have the same thing as, say, not you,
Melissa.
Libra job in the Libra tribe.
And Libra Jupiter.
Right, yes. Yes, so it's truly an investigation of the leading edge of finding a beloved. It gets to be, you know, it's the one path. It's the one place on the wheel where one really does want to be with someone who ends up becoming all men for her.
All men?
All men for her.
Okay, I'm going to be the next bachelorette. All men. Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, this is all part of a relationship discussion. I mean, some people would just gag at that concept, you know, of that degree of all-in, black and white, overwhelming commitment, where the relationship itself is the path to God. But that is what that one is.
Now, you said a couple minutes ago that you didn't have the person's birth time.
Yes.
Could you repeat that in respect to Jupiter?
Yeah, thank you for asking that, because I wanted to just give you a little bit more background on Jupiter. As many of the features of this system, it's taking ingredients from different parts of the world to come up with something that's useful, that works at this time. In India, they don't use Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. So what planet are you going to use for spirituality? Well, it's Jupiter. And in fact, in India, the name of Jupiter is Guru. That's its name. Now, meanwhile, in Chinese astrology, the original system of Chinese astrology had to do with the movement of Jupiter through different constellations. And that was the origin of the whole doctrine, you know, your rats, dragons, monkeys, foxes, and so on. It was the movement of Jupiter, the year star, through the different constellations. And then from that came the popular understanding that is the super. It's like the Chinese version of sun signs, where they give characteristics to an entire year, not a month. You know. So by merging those concepts together, I came up with something that seemed to be useful within this paradigm, which is the Jupiter on the chart changes sign about what, every year. So it's true that everybody for a year or so is going to have that same Jupiter position. So it's not as specific as what you need a birth time for. So what I was saying before was the rising, everything I shared with you about the storyline for current life purpose is not available if we don't have a birth time. That's only available if we have a birth time. And that fits into the logic of the system. Does it not make more sense if we're doing individual astrology, you know, that has to do with your own personal path? To be able to have something really unique to you, you know, down to 2 hours rather than down to a year or down to 2.5 years or down to a month.
So would you say then if you have the birth time, so Jupiter is somewhat insignificant? Or
it's certainly less than the other two.
Because, I mean, I'm looking at my chart and my moon is a quarter. My moon and my Jupiter are the same.
Yes, as it was for Adrian, as it was for...
so you don't make too much significance. You do.
Well, no, I do. I mean, in the sense that if the moon and Jupiter are the same, then you cannot just simply forget your moon. Mm-hmm. That basically, like in the case of Alan, who has the Libra moon, getting over the addictions of Libra moon is really important. But he still has Jupiter in Libra, which means he's on a personal relationship path.
Oh, yeah. Being Scorpio, I like it.
If he had Jupiter in Aquarius or Jupiter in Scorpio, well, then basically it would have been a whole lot easier for him to cut off the roots. In your case. Aquarius moon, Jupiter in Aquarius speaks to the nature of your own spiritual life. Like, where is your objective? Where is your connection with the witness? Where's your connection with spaciousness? What's your connection with the spirit? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Question.
Yeah. So it's basically saying for you, the pathway is not just family householder. Aquarius is a path of consciousness.
Where do you get there?
Well, I mean, I'll give you several examples. So we're speaking of the spiritual essence of these things. Some men's work suggests that every man is looking to experience utter, total, complete spaciousness and annihilation and be able to handle that. Well, Aquarius, they're trippers. They go there all the time. It's kind of like Timothy Leary, who the ultimate Aquarius moon. Thousands of trips. He's been everywhere, but as Ram Dass said, he never saw Tim in his heart until a week before he died. Mm-hmm. It never took him to the edge. Your edge, of course, is Taurus. It's a journey down and in.
Well, you have two houses on there. Mm-hmm.
How do you look at where Jupiter is and know what the rising sign is? You can't. No, I'm sorry. It's a substitute. If you don't have any clue based on having no birth time, what are you going to tell a person about the third movement? What can you suggest to them that has something to do with their dharma? You can talk to them wonderfully about Mars or Venus. But to get to the life purpose approach, you know, you're going to say, yeah, well, it's good for you to know about your Venus or Mars. You can do the sacred marriage. That's all very helpful. But the only thing on the script, if you don't have a birth time, that speaks to a spiritual path is the Jupiter position. If you do not have the birth time.
Okay. So it might not really have anything to do with your rising.
Well, it may not be your rising sign, but regardless of what the rising sign is, I suppose you found out later, you know, somebody accessed the Akashic Records. They find the old birth certificate in a book somewhere, you know? And so now, and this has happened, where someone didn't have a birth time, and then years later they found it out, you know? So you do get to find out it later. But Jupiter is always complicated. You cannot avoid also doing that dharma of the Jupiter position. So it doesn't fine-tune it down to 1 out of 144, but it's putting you in a category that would be equivalent to the way the Chinese do, you know, well, rats are a certain way. And then you add that to the spiritual path understanding from India, where they look at the spiritual path from Jupiter. So it's just, that's why I use the expression, it's a poor man's rising sign. In lieu of having a birth time, Jupiter helps.
You probably spend more time in the timeline than you do on the script in that reading.
Yes, as well as spending more time looking at Venus and Mars. I mean, sometimes people say, should I get a reading? I don't have a birth time. And I'll say, well, the 70% of the story is still there.
Yeah.
And I'm just very clear about what we can't know. Mm-hmm. But and the Jupiter position is very helpful. Otherwise, if you do have a birth time, as I was mentioning before, sometimes it doesn't contribute any additional information. Because it's totally the same as what we've been knowing from the 144 storylines. But in some cases, like I give one example, you could have Scorpio or Leo rising, something that's not householder, but then it shows up Jupiter in Cancer, Jupiter in Capricorn. You know, and then these are individuals that generally did have that experience. And that was on their to-do list to be a family householder.
And Pisces.
And Pisces would be like a person, let's say, that their chart is filled with self-interest signs or renunciate signs, let's say. Pisces there, often the way in which you open to compassion and being a giver and having that ability to go deeply into the feeling function is by having a family. Yeah. So that's just another additional clue on it. But if you have a birth time, it's just the storyline is what works magnificently well. So, in summary, because we're establishing here the template for our work over the next day and a half, which is to go into the 12 mystery schools. So then we can actually do the enactments and see how Venus and Mars actually, how Venus and the Moon, Mars and the Moon and rising sign, how they actually relate to each other. Is to be able to have this structure. When I teach my students, you know, there can be people that are just really scared, you know, to do reading, you know, that my intuition isn't there, or how do I find out this is going to work, or if you just simply use this framework, it's remarkable what contribution you can make to a person. Obviously, the more stories you know, the more experience you have, it just gets better. But just using this structure alone is immeasurable support and service to other individuals, as well as understanding your own journey. Before we tell you about tomorrow, any questions on this. So basically, to do the download on the script in this amount of time is it's a lot. It's a lot. But once you become comfortable with it, it is way simpler than studying any other form of astrology, as well as being able to really access the journey of the soul and to use it in numerous ways. Relationship counseling, sacred marriage work, men's work, women's spirituality, priestess circles, coaching. Several of our, Kalen and Anya and several others in the circle of graduates and aficionados and practitioners of that work, and women's circle.
What about retrograde and direct? Does it come into play?
Not at this stage of interpretation at all. No. Don't even worry about that in terms of understanding the storylines. I would say that shamanic astrology is actually archetype driven. If you know the different basic archetypes, you know the nature of the mystery schools themselves, the archetypes of the signs, you're into anything you can't get intuition and insight from a chart. Anything else you study beyond this point, I mean, obviously, we're leaving out the timeline here and the cycles, but just as far as the chart interpretation itself, there's just other layers and levels of saying the same thing. This is a way of getting to the heart of the matter really, really fast. And as you can see, and the longer I've worked with this, it's almost the difficulty people have in getting the nodes of the moon, house positions, combined with the moon and the ascendant. It's almost as if it's purposely hidden. You know, once we've worked with it for as long as we have, I mean, it's just like so clear, obvious. And yet, it's almost like there's these layers of density surrounding how absolutely brilliantly simple the system actually is. And how easy it is for people to forget, wait a minute, my node's in Taurus. We're talking about the fact that it's in the fifth house. And and then, well, what does that mean? Well, just you know anything about Leo? Well, you know, then it's that version of that mystery school. And the elegance of it continues to blow my mind the longer I work with it. It's trusted it a long way back, and it's never let me down, actually. Wouldn't you say? That's why we call it one of the crown jewels of this particular system. The thing that I did not get a chance to do in this is to reserve another workshop for it, is to tell the very juicy and interesting stories of the projections and the way in which the gods and goddesses dance with each other. We'll see some of that when we talk about the individual mystery schools. Now, we're going to take a break. We have a special treat tonight. In fact, we're hoping that it's going to be the treat